Radio Daily for Halfway Day, which is always just, it's such a lighthearted moment because you're like, yeah, screw this place. I can fake it till the weekend indeed. Hey, welcome. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, again, the man that knows exactly how to assess any situation, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Come to the dork side. Do not make me destroy you.
What? Okay, but see, just, if you could just bring the anger down a little bit, I mean, understand my philosophy. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
We are geeks, but you have to remember, geeks are cool now. This is our time.
This is our time. What happened on this fantastic day, sir?
Do not underestimate my power. 1214, the University of Oxford receives its charter.
1840, Samuel F.B. Morse receives a patent for his telegraph symbols known as Morse code.
1877, Alexander Graham Bell installs the world's first commercial telephone service in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. In the first month, Bell will sell only 6 phones. By September, 778 telephones will be in use.
I don't even know the percentage of increase on that. 1926, Herr Schlatzel demonstrates a wireless phone for automobiles in Berlin, Germany.
1939, Ernst Haeckel tests the world's first aircraft to be propelled solely by a liquid-fueled rocket.
1944, the U.S. Congress charters the Central Intelligence Agency. Or did they?
Bum, bum, bum. 1950, the National Bureau of Standards dedicates the Standards Eastern Automatic Computer in Washington as a laboratory for testing components and systems for setting computer standards.
1963, the red telephone linking the heads of the state of the Soviet Union and the United States is established following the Cuban Missile Crisis and, of course, to reach Batman.
1982, according to Twin Galaxies, Ron Cussman, age 20, scores a record-setting 63,983,475 points on Missile Command by Atari after playing the game for 45 hours and 30 minutes in Stark Arcade in Upland, California. Or did he?
1983, Jamestown resigns as chief operating officer, coup of Microsoft.
1990, the asteroid Eureka 5261, the first known Mars Trojan asteroid, is discovered at Mount Palomar Observatory in San Diego County, California.
1994, Apple Computer launches the eWorld Online service for Mac. It's an imitation of AOL.
The Lycos search engine is quietly launched with an index of approximately 54,000 documents as a research project by Dr. Michael Lauren Malden of Carnegie Mellon University on the same day, same year. In less than a month, the service will have crawled and indexed over 390,000 documents.
1995, the extraterrestrial alien encounter attraction opens in Tomorrowland in the Magic Kingdom of Walt Disney World. It was so awesome, it closed 8 years later.
Oh. 1999, the TNT television network airs the made-for-television movie Pirates of Silicon Valley. Has absolutely nothing to do with the fantastic show that's on HBO. Directed by Martin Burke and starring Noah Wiley and Anthony Michael Hall. The movie is a docudrama that follows the rivalry between Steve Jobs of Apple Computers and Bill Gates of Microsoft in the early days of the personal computer industry.
2000, British Telecom claims all rights to hyperlinks based on the strength of a U.S. patent granted in 1989, which is still in effect, while similar patents granted by governments around the globe have expired. The claim is widely criticized as absurd.
2001, Ellen Spertus, age 32, wins the distinguished title of Sexiest Geek Alive 2001 in San Jose, California. Of course, the wonderful Billy Flynn ended up just as a runner-up.
Oh, so close. Also in 2001, U.S. security firm Zixit reports that a cracker has accessed the credit card database of Anacom Communications, an independent subsidiary of Zixit, and that the FBI is investigating the incident. Damn, crackers.
2003, Universal Pictures releases the action film Hulk, directed by Ang Lee and starring Eric Bana, Jennifer Connelly, and Nick Nolte.
Also same year, the U.S. patent on Lippel-Zittwench compression expires. LZW is a universal lossless data compression algorithm used in the popular GIF graphic format file. It'll be called GIF Liberation Day, and yes, it is called GIF. Send me your hate mail.
I like to celebrate GIF Day personally because I know how to pronounce it correctly. Same day, same year, the Wikimedia Foundation, the non-profit charitable organization that operates Wikipedia and its related sites, is founded in St. Petersburg, Florida. The same day the WikiQuote site is created.
You must work out in a gym. 2005, Viacom announces that it has acquired Neopets Incorporated at a value of $160 million. That's a good investment.
2009, in New Mexico, ground is broken off at the construction site at Spaceport America, the world's first purpose-built commercial spaceport.
The rest of them were purposeless built.
Oh, crap. What did I just make? I guess it's a commercial spaceport.
Also in 2009, Moby makes national headlines when he expresses outrage at the $1.92 million ruling in the Jamie Thomas case. He writes on his blog, "I'm so sorry that any music fan anywhere is ever made to feel bad for making the effort to listen to music. The RIAA needs to be disbanded. Hear, hear." Birthdays?
Christopher Mintz Plas, or Plaze, Plaze. He's 29. He's a guy from Superbad, Role Models, Kick-Ass.
Josh Lucas is 47, from A Beautiful Mind, Hulk, and Stealth.
Nicole Kidman, 51 years old, from Dead Calm, Batman Forever, Moulin Rouge, and To Die For. And she was in a movie called that.
John Goodman is 65, from Raising Arizona, Roseanne, Barton Fink, The Big Lebowski. He was in another show called Roseanne that didn't work out as well.
You're out of your element, Billy. Tress MacNeille, 67 years old. She's played the mom on Futurama, played both Chip and Gadget on Rescue Rangers, Babs Bunny on Tiny. Look, she's one of the hardest working female voiceover actors in history. She's awesome.
Candy Clark is 71, from American Graffiti, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Q, and Amityville 3D, the last theatrical Amityville film.
My name's Candy. Of course it is. We've also got Danny Aiello, 85 years old, from The Godfather 2, Moonstruck, Hudson Hawk. I know you're a fan, Flynn. And Do the Right Thing.
It's a great movie. James Tolkien is 87. It's Principal Strickland in Back to the Future. Looks the same no matter what year it is.
No kidding. Or, you know, that's the problem. People around him are always writing checks that their butts can't cash. Olympia Dukakis, 87 years old, Moonstruck, again, a Working Girl, Steel Magnolias, and Look Who's Talking.
No longer with us, born this date in 1909, Errol Flynn, who I'm not named after, from The Adventures of Robin Hood, Adventures of Don Juan. If there were adventures, he was there.
Always going, ha-ha, and drawing a sword. 1925, Audie Murphy, who received every military combat award for valor available from the U.S. Army, as well as French and Belgian awards for heroism. Then a 21-year acting career, including playing himself in To Hell and Back.
Hey, kid, you're no Audie Murphy. 1928, Martin Landau, North by Northwest, Space. 1999, Ed Wood, and of course, the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
1940, John Mahoney, from Iron Giant, In the Line of Fire, and of course, was the dad on Frasier.
Aw, he loved that chair.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of Bull, Seal Team, and Code Black.
ABC, it's a rerun of The Goldbergs, a rerun of The Goldbergs, a rerun of Modern Family, a rerun of American Housewife, and a rerun of Shark Tank.
NBC has World of Dan.
World. Fox, it's a new MasterChef, and Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back.
Really, he's revamping hell. Boy, I guess he ran out of restaurants. CW has a rerun of Supergirl and The Originals.
Well, you know Orpheus asked for some help. Freeform is showing Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Already then. AMC has Tombstone, if you happen to be feeling like a huckleberry.
E! Entertainment Television has Silicone Slip-Ups on a new Botched.
Oh, I was hoping it was all of the gaffes and goofs from Silicon Valley. FX has Jurassic World.
FXX, hang the stockings, kids. It's Krampus.
IFC, Jim goes out drinking with his new nihilistic friend who pushes him towards a new level of destruction on a new Brockmire.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your personal life. NGC, National Geographic Channel, Ice Ice Baby on Drugs, Inc., The Fix. I didn't know that Vanilla Ice was into drugs.
Sci-Fi has Ashford and Drummer find themselves with little to no options to get out of their predicament on a new The Expanse.
They've always got Amazon. TBS, it's a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Yes, please.
TNT, Live Free or Die Hard.
There's no other options. There's no other options. You will do Science Channel, BattleBots, Mega Fights, Episode 5.
Ooh. USA has Katie beginning to suspect that there may be an underlying dark side to her refugee casework on a new colony.
Wow, okay then. But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because when a man and woman hire a nanny who appears to be perfect in every way, she gets herself into a situation where she seems to be responsible for murders that look to be unrelated, but she may be the possible victim of a setup. Michelle Borth and Alicia Rulin star in Devious Nanny.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Because she's so upset about Sierra, Hope lashes out at Trip. Look, you watching all those Happy Days episodes caused this. Will refuses to tell Paul about that memory because he wants to savor it, because he wants to go back to it. Chad has an unexpected suggestion for Sonny. Go F yourself. I'm gonna run Titan. Ben confides in Sierra. Hey, I liked when Fonzie jumped over the shark. Hashtag Chad. forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, of course not. Everyone's so busy poring over the episodes to determine exactly which one is their favorite, and it's hard to pick. It's like asking which one is your favorite child. But you know which one it is, and you should tell us by sending a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or a voicemail to 510-GRD-CREW, and no pressure, but we got to get this done soon.
Hey, Justin.
What's up, man?
Do you want to play some NES games, you know, the Nintendo Entertainment System?
Absolutely. Sounds like a great idea.
Sweet. Well, we are the two dudes, and we play Nintendo games. We are a podcast, and you guys need to come check us out. You can check us out at nestdudes.com, Facebook, Twitter, Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher, blah, 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 blah. We're on everything.
Right. Two dudes in a nest. Check us out.
Woohoo!
Hi, this is James Hong. Listen to Geek Radio Daily today.
Today and tomorrow and every single day you possibly can. Even if we don't do a show, listen to a show.
Or James Hong will come get you. Or even worse,
Lo Pan will. Dun, dun, dun.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed it is. What's available at the comic shop today, sir?
Well, since Bookman has ended its run, from DC Comics, we've got Aquaman 37. I'm doing the rest of them. Cave Carson has an Interstellar Eye, number 4. Future Quest presents, number 11. Red Hood has always been the one standing slightly apart from the rest of the Batcrew. Some see him as the Robin gone bad, which is exactly the kind of thing someone like Anarchy can exploit. Now Red Hood is running security at Catwoman's Bachelorette Park. Why not? And if Anarchy can crash it, that could be the final straw for Jason Todd. Again, Batman, Prelude to the Wedding, Red Hood versus Anarchy, number 1.
Over at Marvel, Amazing Spider-Man, number 801. Oh yeah, Hunt for Wolverine, Claws of a Killer, number 2 of 4, Infinity Countdown, Champions, number 1 of 2, but then, from the cusp of tomorrow's dreams, to the forefront of imagination, one man always soars on the cutting edge of adventure. You know his name, Tony Stark is Iron Man. And Iron Man is an idea, always changing, always evolving, an idea without limit. It's Tony Stark, Iron Man, number 1.
Remember, you're supposed to be the smart one, I'm the pretty one. Dynamite Entertainment, Agent 47, Birth of the Hitman, number 6. Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica, wrapping it up with 6 of 6. Also same with James Bond, The Body, wrapping it up. From Boom Studios, we've got Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock, number 2. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 28. WWE 18, brother. And after the epic battle between Pops and Anti-Pops, Mordecai Rigby and the rest of the park continue to live their lives. Now, 25 years later, Mordecai and Rigby have a lot to learn about how things never stay the same. Regular show, 25 years later, inexplicably, is available in issue number 1.
American Mythology Productions, stay away from me, has Stargate Universe number 5, Underdog number 1. Over at IDW Publishing, My Little Pony, Ponyville Mysteries number 2, Punk's Not Dead number 5, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends number 2. But over at Archie Comics, Riverdale High's new substitute teacher is very odd. Snubbed by the scientific community, he plans his revenge on the students of Riverdale High. It's going to take a team of people with some mighty powers to stop him. Archie Comics 2, most renowned superhero teams are going to meet up for the first time. It's Archie Super Teens versus Crusaders, number 1.
From Zenoscope, we've got Black Sable, 6 of 6. From Dark Horse, we've got Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 12, The Reckoning, number 1 of 4. Right. Ether, The Copper Golems, 2 of 5. Witchfinder, The Gates of Heaven, 2 of 5. From Oni Press, learn the secret stories and hidden pasts of your favorite Rick and Morty characters, the professional assassin who just loves killing, and discover the roots of Rick's relationship with the galaxy-trotting killer with no code of ethics. Children, animals, old people, it doesn't matter. Rick and Morty presents Crumbopolis, Michael, number 1.
I love that Adam Sandler song. Boundless Comics has Belladonna, Fire and Fury, number 7. Over at Image Comics, it's Curse Words, number 15, Hit Girl, number 5, and Moonshine, number 11. But, you know, Red is one of hundreds shanghaied out of Portland in the late 1800s. Drugged, kidnapped, and sold to a ship's captain, she wakes up on a boat headed out to sea for years, unable to escape or even reveal who she truly is. But now she's coming back in a boat covered in blood to find her family and track down the men responsible for stealing her life out from under her. It's Shanghai Red, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, it's always fun when old cast members come back to a show. Sometimes it's very confusing, like when actor John Berthnall is set to return to AMC's The Walking Dead for at least one episode in the upcoming 9th season. You know him, he played Shane in the first 2 seasons, and he was seen on the show set with Andrew Lincoln, Norman Reedus, other people. Shane was last seen as a zombie being put down by Carl. So either he's going to be in a flashback or an hallucination, which is probably in some way, shape, or form going to tie into Andrew Lincoln's final episode of the series, which will happen next season. Maybe we'll find out that not all deaths are final and that Shane is a super zombie, cape and all. Or maybe they can go insane and have the Punisher show up, with Rick leaving the need for another psycho badass to keep everybody safe. Eugene's gonna have to be microchipped, though. And this, of course, will finally give us the Marvel Zombie show we've all been yearning for.
The DCEU. There are so many rumors about it. But what they're going to do is it's hard to keep up with all of them, really. One says the Shazam trailer will be at Comic-Con. Others, or even the ones that are like pipe dreams like the Earth-Fred Chronicles. So take it with a grain of salt as we tell you that they're going to shoot the Todd Phillips directed Joaquin Phoenix starring as the Joker flick this September. Of course, in this business, we're conditioned to not believe a damn thing until we're sitting in the movie theater and the final key grip's name is rolled up the screen. This is especially the case when we're talking about potentially game-changing movies like this. Disbelief aside, a new report does state that Phillips is assembling his crew to make this film a reality. For starters, the film is going under the working title Romeo. Really? Not Romero? And while this likely means nothing in terms of content, it certainly lends some credibility to the idea that this movie is in fact actually happening. We can only hope movies come out at the same time. Because that would really mess with people's heads. Look, DC, if you want to get nuts, just get nuts. Like movie parodies starring the Joker. Like the Big Jokowski. The Big Jokowski. You're out of your element, Batsy. Or a new Batman-focused love story where he and Bane are cowboys. Wait, they already made Brokeback Mountain. Why? Hold on. Why? Can't I quit you?
A team of Japanese scientists identified the mineral magnetite within a lunar meteorite found in the desert of Northwest Africa. That's important because magnetite is a crystal of silicon dioxide that requires water to grow. Ooh. Kiyoma and Company analyzed the chemical compositions and structures of 13 lunar meteorites, only one of which contained magnetite, which confirms the scientist's theory that it was not established in the African desert. As described in the Tohoku University press release, the oxide mineral was cultivated through the process of water evaporation and strong sunlight. The meteorites probably came from an area of the moon called Prokelium Tirrane, which I love to go to. This lends to Kiyama's theory that deeper under the lunar surface, protected from the sun, is a treasure trove of water ice.
Or lizard people.
Ah! If the team is correct, and there is an accumulation of H2O in the soil, lunar explorers will have easier access to the resource, thus raising the chances the moon will host human settlement and infrastructure within the next few decades.
Or humanoid lizard people.
God, you really want that to be a thing. The Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA, is reportedly planning two missions to hunt and collect moon water in 10 years, assuming they aren't shot down by Flight 19, or if the whalers beat them there.
Whalers on the moon.
They're becoming more and more a regular part of our life. They take our gerbs. They hunt Sarah Connor. See, okay, we got that joke out of the way. Now I can be serious. But as robots become more and more capable, what other human jobs will they take? Well, Phil, I'm glad you asked. GuardBot is a surveillance robot that's able to maneuver on any terrain, even having the ability to swim. Come on, sinking was one of the best defenses we had against them. Well, the device comes in a variety of sizes, ranging from as small as 5 inches, easily crushed by the boot of your heel, to a model that is 7 foot in diameter, in which case you'll probably need a bulldozer. GuardBot is fitted with 2 surveillance cameras, microphones, GPS allowing it to be controlled via satellites, as well as remotely, and a battery that can last for 25 hours. That's a full day, people. Long enough for them to get in place for whatever their mischievous shenanigans are. It's currently still in development, and the military are looking into using it for future deployments. Now, in Short Circuit, it was Johnny Five.
Yes.
Is that a...
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about the next one?
What do you mean?
It says number 6 in
it. Oh, number 6, The Prisoner.
Oh, okay.
Instead of the Rover GuardBot would do it. Didn't even think about making a Johnny Five thing.
Okay, gotcha. To ensure that a truly evil Johnny Five is making sure that number 6 doesn't get off the island. 2 references for you kids. And to provide security for the few remaining shopping malls our robot overlords allow us to have.
That joke's not going to make sense when the remake comes out and has nothing to do with killer robots at the mall. We told you about Nike's PlayStation shoes, and to prove that they're not just Sony fanboys, Nike is following up its PlayStation AF1s with some Xbox-branded Air Jordan 1s, huh? It's not just that they're green sneakers. They got Xbox branding on the insole and aglets, and hey, 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 the sole glows in the dark as well. Ooh.
Hello.
They were worn by various Xbox reps at E3 last week with no word yet on a wider commercial release. It's possible they were just a promo for that show, but come on, there's no way they're going to make these without trying to get some cold hard cash out of it. Xbox branded shoes are a mirror of a 2017 collaboration between the companies, which saw a handful of Air Jordan Xbox Ones made up. These should be a great addition to your footwear. Until, of course, the Red Ring of Death causes them not to move, and you just get stuck in that park where you were, jogging. GRD is licensed under the Creative Achievement Unlocked. Non-derivative United States Works 3.1 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. What do you mean? Tons of people like to jog. Okay, watch Riverdale, folks, okay? Watch Riverdale. It makes sense. Drop a note, won't you please? Tell us about your favorite show. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can send a voicemail as well. It's 510-GRD-CREW. Make sure you go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. And hey, I forgot to mention, but you saw the new Cinemistress episode up. Hereditary is hereditary, not hereditary. Or you can say it any way you want. That's fine by us. You let us know and we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Whoa, that went well.
That was great. A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
That was lame.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
I'm going.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Too constrictive. I can't even fold my arms.
Gee, Mr. Lugosi, I've never had any complaints.
This is the most uncomfortable coffin I've ever been in. Your selection is quite shoddy. You're wasting my time.
Mr. Lugosi?
I told you, I don't want any of your goddamn coffins.
No, I don't work here.
Well, who are you? What do you want?
I don't want anything. I'm a really big, big fan. I've seen all your movies. Mr. Lugosi? Why are you buying a coffin?
I'm planning on dying soon.
No.
Yes, I'm embarking on another bus and truck tour of Dracula. 12 cities in 10 days, if that's conceivable.
Do you know that I saw you perform Dracula in Poughkeepsie in 1938?
That was a terrible production. Ramfield was a drunk.
I thought it was great. You know, you're much scarier in real life than you are in the movie.
Thank you.
I even waited outside to get your autograph, but you never came out.
Well, I apologize. When I played Dracula, I put myself into a trance. It takes me much time to reemerge. Oh, there's my bus. Shit, there is my transfer.
Say, don't you have a car?
I refuse to drive in this country. Too many madmen.